So happy to have you with us on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Larry Mueller here, turning our attention to early spring produce and what you can do with it. Oh, man, and there, if, I tell you, if there's anybody who knows what you can do with it, it's my guest, Terry Milligan. She is chef and culinary instructor. She and her husband used to own and operate the inn at Christopher's in Sister Bay.
Mm-hmm. Door County.
Door County. You're staff writer for Edible Door and a contributing food writer to the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. And it's, hey, it's great to have you back.
Well, I'm always happy to be on, and I'm itching to get started cooking on some spring produce.
Well, I tell you what.
Spring to come.
Oh, yeah, for sure. The first crop, we've got a few crops that, at least I can think of three, I think, that emerge fairly early.
Well, some of our first produce of the spring are going to be your asparagus, rhubarb, and one of my favorites, I do still live in Door County, and my entire backyard happens to be wild ramps.
Oh.
That's one of my favorite things that I learned to love because I bought a house and found out I had an entire backyard full of ramps.
That is, and you didn't know it beforehand.
I did not know it. We bought it in the wintertime, and I didn't know, and we've had the house for about 15 years. And I did have my restaurant, the Inn of Christopher's, at that time, and I learned to do so many things with ramps. It was unbelievable. And I'm talking lots of ramps I have.
Well, now, I'm sure there are people who are saying, well, what the heck is a ramp? But mm-hmm. Talk about that and how you could use ramps in a recipe.
Well, ramps are, the best way to describe them would be a wild leek. So they're smaller than a leek, but they've got kind of that green onion leek look. When they're in, and they grow in the wild, so when you see them, they kind of look like large lily-of-the-valley leaves coming up.
Yep.
But when you pull them up, you get, looks like a larger green onion. And they have they're in the garlic kind of family, so they've got the kind of a pungent, more pungent flavor than a green onion. But they've come into vogue recently.
Yeah.
Since I bought the house. And I just read actually yesterday in looking some information up about ramps that in some of the big cities, they are selling for $20 a pound.
Oh, my goodness.
So I told my husband, if we really get desperate, I guess we can start being the ramp sellers and, you know, go to the big cities here and sell our ramps. But if you're lucky enough to know how to forage for them or have some, they're really a fun thing to use. But they have become kind of a more in vogue. Wild cooking has become kind of a vogue thing right now, so you see them being used a lot.
No, absolutely. Terry Milligan, our guest today, she has a great site, by the way. I love your site.
Oh, thank you.
Chef,
I just updated it for this, too, so your listeners will see a lot of things focused on our talk today.
Oh, I'm telling you, and I'm looking at those things, and I'm thinking, oh, I want some right now. It's chefterrymilligan.com.
Yes, very easy to find, and I know I've got my big M logo with the carrot going through it. That's me.
And I think we have a link on our Facebook page at the Larry Mueller Show too. So if you happen to be on that our Facebook page right now, if you click, you're going to find a quick click to her page. It's a wonderful, wonderful page. Well, so ramps. I know you make ramp pestos.
I do make ramp pesto. You can use the leaves as well as the white part that looks like the green onion. So you can make the pesto, which is wonderful because you can then have the ramps flavored throughout the year. I like to use little plastic ice cube trays. And I actually have a picture, I think, of it on the website.
Yeah.
If you go to that ramp pesto page, and it shows you just make little ice cubes, but they're pesto. And then you can pop them out and use them whenever you want. It doesn't have to be just ramp pesto. It could be any type of pesto. So that's a neat way to keep pestos available all year. Another fun thing is to pickle them. And I have a recipe on the site for pickling the ramps. And that's a neat thing to put on even a little piece of goat cheese and a piece of French bread and a little cheese or a little fresh herbs on top. And you've got a little starter to kind of start your evening of relaxation. But ramps, I just have, there's just a variety of things you can do with them. Even just a simple grilling of the ramps. When we had the restaurant, I garnished, this time of year, I garnished a lot of the dinners going out with just a whole wild ramp kind of floating up in the air with its leaves to kind of pop up at the table. It's really, really pretty.
And, you know, you have on your page, you have a really nice picture of the leaves, well, of the whole ramp. But
mm-hmm. Yeah, so you can really see that picture that's on the main part of the page shows the ramps as they come out. They're a little cleaner there than when they come out. They have a little more dirt on them. And they do like kind of a foresty type of a area where they come up, and I happen to be living right in one in Door County. And you need to be careful when you do forage for them because you want them to come up the next year. So you never want to take all of them. You always want to keep some because they will have a little bitty kind of a lavender-colored delicate flower that comes up and seeds for the next year. So you want to make sure you keep some there. And you do need to wash them thoroughly. And there's also, when you take that little root off, which you see in the picture, there's a little kind of skin on there. It's like a real thin piece of skin on the tip, and that just kind of comes right off with a paring knife, and they're ready to go. One thing I would tell your listeners is these plants have another name. They're very, have a long history, but Native Americans referred to them as the stink plant. Because they do have quite an odor. When you grill them and eat them, you're fine. But when they come out, I always said to my husband, the worst part of picking the ramps was taking them from my house to the restaurant, which was less than a mile. But, boy, do they smell.
Oh, man.
Yeah, so they do, you will notice that you want to try to use them right when you pick them. But you can store them in the fridge just wrapped in some damp paper towel. But you don't want them to stay in there too long.
Oh, man. Jerry Villigan, our guest, said, you can join in. Questions or comments, what early spring produce do you look forward to the most? How do you use it in your cooking? Maybe questions about that or comments or experiences to share? Call us at 1-800-642-1234, 800-642-1234. Email us at talk@WPR.org, or you can post on our Facebook page. Just go to the Larry Mueller Show Facebook page, and we'd certainly love to hear from you. You have a recipe that I looked at that, and I thought, oh, my goodness, I have got to try this. You have it combines the last of the fall harvest with the first of the spring. So you've got shaved asparagus and beet-infused goat cheese salad.
Yep, and there's actually a video of that present making that salad if you hit that site, so you can see the whole thing. What you do is really simple. Roast the beets, you puree them, and you put your goat cheese in there, and you can make either little kind of balls of the goat cheese that's kind of pinkish-colored, or what I do in the recipe that's on the site is I line muffin tins with plastic wrap and put the goat cheese in there, put it in the refrigerator, and then when you pop it out, you've got kind of that restaurant quality looking piece of goat cheese to go in the center of the plate of the salad. And then we combine our spring produce, which is our asparagus. So you bring the asparagus in, and I just like to do it raw on this salad. So I shave it very thinly with a vegetable peeler. And that's what you can see on the photo on the website, kind of draped over. And then radishes are one of the first things in the season, too. Radishes have a very short span between seed to coming to fruition. So radishes you'll see coming to the market fairly early. So you can shave those, and there are so many different types and colors of radishes available now. So that's kind of a fun thing to add and gives it a little kind of a bite to the salad.
Yeah, I wanted one right away as soon as I saw it. That's the trouble with talking with you. I always have to go to your site, and then I look at those things, and I've got to have that right now.
Well, we try to make them look as good as they taste.
Oh, man. Dennis in Galesville, thanks for calling. Hi.
Yeah, hi. I lived in North Idaho for 4 years, and there's a prairie out there called the Camas Prairie, and it's named after the camas root that the natives used a lot for food. Is this ramp related to that?
Now, I'm not familiar with that, but I do know that the Indians, the Native Americans, were used ramps a lot, not only to eat, but also for medicinal purposes. So I'm unfortunately not familiar with that. If it's in a prairie, that sounds like it might be a little sunnier, and ramps really like more of a darker kind of woodsy kind of atmosphere.
So, you know, we'll probably do a little research on that and see if we can come up with something.
Yeah,
because
that'd be cool. I know they use it for the root, but I'm not sure about the medicinal or just for food.
Well, we'll do a little checking on that. So, Dennis, you stay listening.
We'll have to check that out, yeah.
Yeah, stay listening. Appreciate the call. Oh, man, asparagus. You mentioned the shaved asparagus, which is such a wonderful idea just use a peeler, and then you're not cooking it or anything.
Well, and you get that. What's nice is if, you know, some asparagus is different colored, and up here especially we'll get purple asparagus. But when you cook it, you lose that color. So when you shave it, you can have even multitudes of color of asparagus in a salad. So that's kind of a fun thing.
Oh, absolutely. Well, we're talking today with Terry Milligan, who is a chef and culinary instructor, staff writer for Edible Door, and a contributing food writer to the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. She's going to be with us right up until 12:30 today. Looking forward to hearing from you. Give us a call at 800-642-1234. We're going to take a look at the news and weather, and then we'll be back with Terry Milligan. You stay with us. Springtime means the start of a new season of produce, and today we're talking with Chef Terry Milligan, who has some really tasty recipes and inspiring ideas for how to use those, the ramps, the asparagus, the rhubarb, the mushrooms, and a whole lot more. Great to have her with us. She's staff writer for Edible Door and a contributing food writer to the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, teaches classes. You can join in with your questions and favorite recipes as well, if you'd like, at 800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, or email us at talk@WPR.org if you've got some nice food photos, maybe involving some of these early spring foods. I hope you'll put those up on our Facebook page, at the Larry Mehler Show Facebook page. I'd certainly love to see them as well. Scott and Sister Bay is online. So let's go to Scott. Hi, Scott. Thank you for calling.
Hi, thank you. Hi, Terry.
Hi, somebody local. Oh, no.
That's
is it
right.
someone
That's
I know?
Right. Well, we've met. Yeah, we've met. I have a half an acre lot in Sister Bay, and I'm lucky enough on that small lot to have wild morels, wild asparagus, and wild ramps. And it's just a city lot, so I guess I picked the right spot. But, you know, they come up, sometimes they overlap each other. In fact, they do quite a bit, but you don't always have all three at the same time. But when I have all three, I mix them all together, and there's two ways I really like to do it. If you don't mind me sharing a quick couple
sure.
of ideas
sure.
with you. All right. Well, I love smoked paprika.
It's one of my favorites.
Just about everything. So I just like to toss them in olive oil, salt, pepper, and smoked paprika and put them on the grill, and they're fantastic that way. But I also like to keep my dill seed from the fall before out of my garden, and I mix that with some fennel seed, and I toast those and either throw them in a coffee grinder or crush them with a saute pan so you have kind of a powder, and mix that into a butter. So you got kind of an earthy dill fennel butter. And I saute them in that, and I also put some toast in and make toast points and just pour the whole mixture, the ramps, the morels, the wild asparagus right over the toast with the fennel and the dill, and it's just fantastic. So those are my two favorite ways, and it really doesn't matter what combination I have of the three.
Well, you're lucky if you have the wild morels, because those are tough to come by. I might have to find that lot.
yeah. it takes some looking, and my kids have found more than I have, but... Yeah, they're good. They must have better eyes, but they do come up in the same spot every year. So once you find them, you're
and they're guarded. Those secrets are guarded in everywhere.
Yeah, they are. They are.
Absolutely. Well, that sounds wonderful, doesn't it, Terry?
That's a nice recipe. Sometimes simple is the best, and if it's just fresh produce and you just, as Scott said, just grill it and just serve it that way with a little seasoning on it, you can't get any better.
Yeah.
Well, the ramps get very sweet when you grill them, as you probably know.
And that's what I used to do a lot at the restaurant and now do at my own home. But, and people are surprised, too. I found they aren't that familiar with the ramps sometimes, and it was something new to them.
Yeah, well, I appreciate it. It's nice to hear from you. Nice, glad to hear everything you're doing, and the website's great. So,
well, thank you. Right. Yep. I'm busy in my semi-retirement.
Thanks, Scott. Appreciate the call very much. You know, we had a caller earlier ask about camas, wondering if that was related to ramps. But
well, I've looked some things up while we were on break. And it is not related, but it is part of the asparagus family, apparently.
So it's related. Yeah, Cynthia Schuster, our on-air producer today, found the same thing. She says related. She didn't see any references to ramps.
No, it didn't look like it was, because it does seem like it grows in meadows, and that's not where a ramp would be. It seemed like it is part of the asparagus family, but does have quite the Native American history where it was used a lot. But it seems like it has more of a tubular type of a bulb on the bottom, and they were referencing it more to like a sweet potato, kind of more like that type of a texture versus the ramp that looks a little more like the onion.
We, you know, on Friday, our Central Time program in the afternoon, there's a Food Friday section. And they'll be talking more about combining the fall and early spring harvest that you were talking about, we were talking about earlier. And Laurie Skelton, one of our WPR classical hosts, treated the staff to a dish featuring sweet potatoes and dandelion greens. And Cynthia said it was delicious. Do you cook with dandelion greens?
Sure. In fact, I'm working on an article right now using edible flowers, and dandelions are included in that, as well as the greens. So if there are, you know, as long as you know where they're sourced and you know they're organically grown and don't have pesticides and car fumes and things like that on them, you know, there's some wonderful additions that you can do with some of these edible, as I call them, edible petals and edible leaves.
And you want the smaller, you know, they can become bitter.
Mm-hmm. Well, the young is always, you know, it's going to be a more tender and a softer flavor.
Absolutely. Jeff in Dorchester, Iowa, up next. Jeff, hi. Thank you for calling.
Hi, Larry. Great show again.
Thank you.
I wanted to share a recipe and a couple of different versions of it. One of our favorite things to do with ramps is to ferment them, as you would with the sauerkraut.
Mm-hmm.
We do that with a simple brine solution in a quart jar or gallon jar, whatever you happen to have. And they're absolutely wonderful that way as a garnish or chopped up and used in stir fries or anything along that line. The other thing that we'll do with the ramps is we'll mix them with well-scrubbed and julienned dandelion root, dandelion greens, and nettle leaves, and we ferment that mixture.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. That's another kind of fun foraged item that people are now becoming more accustomed to using.
It's one of the most called for items. We operate a little CSA down here, and it's one of the most called for items that we offer. We have a nettle quiche that people just scream about, and like the previous caller, when you have morels and nettles together, there's nothing better than that quiche in the morning.
Oh, boy, it sounds wonderful. And we've got a little time, not a lot, but a little time yet before the morels come, but not a lot.
Not a lot. And they, you know, they are exactly what they are, wild. And they go on their own time frame. And some years we have bundles and some years we don't.
I know. I've experienced both ends of that spectrum. Jeff, thank you for calling. I appreciate it.
Oh, you bet. Anytime.
I appreciate that very much. You can join in, too. The number to call, 1-800-642-1234. Have a question or maybe an experience to share or some recipes? We've had some good ones here. 1-800-642-1234. Email us at talk@WPR.org or post on our Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show. We'd certainly love to hear from you. Rhubarb is something else. My grandmother made this rhubarb pie that I just absolutely loved.
Well, rhubarb is one of those love to hate kind of things. You hate them when they're in the garden and they kind of overtake it, but you love them because of all the things you can do with them.
Yeah, and you have. I know there's a rhubarb upside down cake that you've got that looks wonderful.
Well, if you want to be artistic, you can look on my website and see kind of the artistic design you can make with it. But you don't have to be quite that artistic. It's delicious either way.
So you may, and what's your, and I know you have a, you make a tart with it too, don't you?
I do. Well, and I like to do galettes, which are free-form tarts, because you don't have to be quite so perfect with them. I call it the perfect pie for the imperfect cook. You can be an imperfect cook and make a great galette. So you can just really make a crust and throw your pie filling in it and mold it around so you don't have to have it in a pie tin per se. So that's delicious. And then I have a recipe for a rhubarb ice cream with strawberries on the site too, which is making basically a rhubarb strawberry compote and adding it to an ice cream base and just churning it in your homemade ice cream maker.
Well, that rhubarb ice cream really appealed
it's
to me.
It's good.
I'm going to have to try making that as well. Oh, boy. Well, so you do combine it often with strawberries, don't you, rhubarb?
Oh, often it is paired with strawberries. And, again, it's one of those things that they kind of come into season around the same time. So in Door County, we have some Door County strawberries that start coming up around the same time as the rhubarb crops in June. So they're an easy mix to go together. Plus, the rhubarb is tart, the strawberry is sweet. You combine them, and you get that sweet tart flavoring.
Do you do a lot of your own forage? I mean, you've got your ramps right in your own yard, but do you get out and do some foraging for?
Well, I don't have as much time as I thought I'd have to forage. It's easy to go right out my back door. I will tell you, when I had my restaurant, I had one of my chefs who was, he just loved to forage for mushrooms. And he would come back sometimes with so many morels, and one year we had so many chanterelles in the late, early fall that we couldn't even figure out what to do with them all. It was a happy thing to have. And what was even nicer is he didn't ask for money for them, so I just gave him a bottle of wine here or there, and I had all these lovely morels. But Door County is known for a haven for morel hunting, but it's a very well-guarded secret of where they are.
Well, yeah, I was just thinking about Tegan Wendland, one of my grad students, actually made a bit of money because she was a good forager.
Mm-hmm. And you can do some good change on that.
she would sell to the, frankly, the high-end restaurants around the square in Madison and made pretty good money.
Well, morels are one of the few mushrooms, and chanterelles too, that cannot be cultivated in a garden or a home environment or commercial environment. So they are truly wild, and that means that foragers really can make a living if they know how to. If it's a good crop and they know where to find them, can do some good as I said, change off of them.
Talking with Terry Milligan today about spring cooking with the early spring vegetables that we find, and certainly we're talking mostly about asparagus, ramps, and rhubarb, but gotten into dandelions as well and some others. You can join in. You have an experience to share or maybe a question. I hope you will join us at 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. Email us at talk@wpr.org. Or you can post on our Facebook page. Just go to the Larry Mealer Show Facebook page, and you can post your questions or your comments there. And we'd certainly love to hear from you. Let's go back to asparagus for a bit. I want you to talk about your asparagus Gruyere puff pastry tart again.
Well, that is something that actually is pretty easy for a cook to do because you can pre-purchase the puff pastry. If you want to be very French, you can make your own, but it does take time. But there's so many nice pastries now you can buy commercially at the grocery store. So you really just need some beautiful asparagus, some Gruyere cheese, an egg, a little cream to put the tart shell together, and you're ready to go. So it's a very easy spring recipe to use your spring asparagus in. And you can use the whole asparagus spears and just place them right in there.
Oh, I just love the sound of it. That's for sure. Sarah in Lodi. Hi, thank you for calling.
Oh, my goodness. You've got my mouth watering.
I know.
Thinking about rhubarb in the spring is just, oh, my gosh. I just can never wait for a fresh rhubarb pie. It is amazing. And now my mouth is literally watering.
And you like it? You like the custard pie?
I love the old-fashioned rhubarb custard pie with a crust that is brushed with sugar and milk for a little brown sweet crust. And it's my mother's old recipe from probably, I don't know, 60, 70 years ago. And I still use it. And I would eat rhubarb in about anything that you could put it in.
Well, those are the best recipes, the ones that are handed down like that.
They are. And it's just this incredible memory of childhood and good things that my mom used to make and spring. And I just think rhubarb is such a harbinger of spring. It's just wonderful. It's, you made me smile, and there's no rhubarb around for me to eat at lunch. So.
Not yet. Getting there.
Yeah, it's getting there, Sarah. Thank you so much for calling. Appreciate it very much. You know, I'm just thinking, I've been using, I don't know, the last, probably since Christmas time, around Christmas time, I picked up my Christmas present to myself was a Vitamix.
Mm-hmm.
It was a little high-end, but I'm telling you, I've made so many smoothies with fruit, and I haven't thought about rhubarb. I wonder if rhubarb would work.
Well,
in...
you probably want to cook it a little beforehand, because if it's raw, it's going to have that, it's going to be a little too sour. So I would make a little rhubarb kind of compote, maybe.
Yeah.
To soften it up and then put it in there. And then I think you'd be good to go.
Yeah, I wondered about that. That's a sort of steam it or something. And
another thing, Larry, you could do is just roast the rhubarb, too. So you can sprinkle a little sugar on it and roast it in the oven for at 350 for about 8 to 9 minutes. And it just softens it up a little bit. Because as a raw piece in there, it's not going to work as well.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. Thanks. That's a good tip. Carrie and Fenimore up next. Hi, Carrie.
Hi, Larry. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
Okay, I just had a quick comment and question, and I'll take my answer off the air. But you guys had said that morels were a wild cultivar. We could only find them in the wild. And I'd always heard that, too, but I saw a YouTube tutorial recently where somebody was teaching you how to cultivate them in your backyard. And so I guess I just wondered what you guys thought about that.
Well, I just did a mushroom article that was in the journal yesterday, so I did do some research. And I don't know. YouTube is, it just as I always said to my older sister, just because it's on the Internet doesn't always mean it's true. So I'm not quite, I haven't seen that, but I do know, I am aware that the morel is one of those mushrooms that they have not been successful in cultivating, and it really grows where it wants to grow, when it wants to grow, and I don't know of anybody who's been able to cultivate it. If they have, then you'd be seeing more of them.
You'd be, if you could figure out how to cultivate them, you could make a lot of money. I think if I'm working with morels and if I've got water and, have them in water or whatever, I always take the water outside and put it where I think it, if it might be possible that some of the morel would actually grow. But I have never had that. I've never had anything happen.
They will grow, as the one caller said. If you find a spot, they do. That's just like the ramps. You want to always keep some of those morels there so that they'll come up again. So they do like the spot that they start in.
Yeah, absolutely. John in Cross Plains, hello.
Hi. I was wondering, I've heard no mention of wild lilies, tiger lilies, or ditch lilies, and yet I do understand they're edible. All parts of the plant are edible. I wonder if you have any information on that.
Hmm.
Well, I know lily is an edible flower, but you do want to make sure if you decide to partake in eating them that they, you know, you source them a little bit. You know, some people think they can, you know, you just go out and you can pick the lily. You don't know what an animal might have been around it and gotten something on it. You just need to, it's really safer if you're using edible flowers like that, that you know where they're sourced from and you grew them yourself or you bought them from a reputable organic grower. So I always tell people to be very careful about just picking things that they see in a field that are like that, like that could be attract different types of animals and insects that could have things on them. So,
yeah, that's
but they are lilies are edible. He is correct.
Yeah, thanks, John, for calling. Appreciate it. Terry, what are you up to now? Have you got some classes coming up? And
oh, Larry, I have so many things coming up because it's spring.
Yeah.
So I listed on my website some classes that are particularly earmarked for produce. I teach a lot in Milwaukee at the Milwaukee Public Market. I teach in Appleton at a place called the Wire Whisk, which is right across from the Fox Valley Mall. And then, of course, I teach in Door County. I'm doing a spring cooking class a weekend, which is really a lot of fun, at the Eagle Harbor Inn here in Ephraim, where only 8 folks come. It's a really small group that I have, and we, for the weekend, kind of tour Door County's culinary places, and then they cook in the kitchen with me at Eagle Harbor Inn for 3 hours, and then we have a great meal. And that's a really fun thing. You do stay at Eagle Harbor Inn and cook with me. I've got a great Memorial Day demo coming up, both at the Milwaukee Public Market and the Wire Whisk, where we're going to do some fun Memorial Day, as I call it, updating cooking, keeping the brats and the hot dogs in the menu, but adding some new things. And all my classes are always listed on my website.
Well, you know, here you were partially retired, supposedly.
I'm a busy partially retired lady.
I certainly can agree with that. Oh, and Dwight in Duluth wondered if ginseng is naturally growing like morels, and it does grow naturally, but of course it can be grown as well in fields.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Commercially.
That can be both, yes.
But you need to be careful about, I'm not so sure you can just go picking ginseng, wild ginseng, just anywhere. You really need to be careful, I think, about that. And I would look into that if I...
Well, I would like to mention there's a great book for your listeners that if they're interested in wild cooking and wild foraging, it's a book I use often, and it's called The Wild Table by Connie Green, and it's about seasonal foraged food and recipes, and it talks about all these things your listeners have been questioning us about, the nettles, the mushrooms, the morels, the chanterelles, elderberry flowers, everything. And it's a really nice book to have for questions when you want to know, should I eat it? Should I pick it? What do I do with it? How do I clean it? So I'll put a little note on my website and my Facebook page with the name. It's a great reference book with really nice recipes.
Terry, thank you so much. I really appreciate it. I'll look forward to our next visit.
Well, thank you, Larry. Good produce cooking to you.
To you as well. ChefTerryMilligan.com. There you can go there to her site. And, boy, you really should. You take a look at their spring salad of shaved asparagus, beets, and goat cheese. The video on that is something else. And the fresh rhubarb and strawberry shortcake with homemade strawberry rhubarb ice cream. Oh, my goodness me. I can't wait to get started. And I can't wait to tell you that I'm glad you listened in today, and I hope you'll stay with us. Lots more in store here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.